Welcome, welcome, welcome back to They Made Their Way to the Ring. On the last episode, number 17, I talked about the French-Canadian Maryse, and that content has had some great feedback. The streams have allowed me to smash through my target of 350 streams. Now, it's on to the next 400 streams. I'm ready. Are you ready? With our 1 year anniversary fast approaching, there's no better time than to start this next episode of season two. So, let's go. Today's installment marks only the second time in the complete series where in one episode I will introduce a superstar not once, oh no, but twice. This experience celebrates a phenomenal presence inside the ring. Yes, the trend continues, it's another blonde. This woman is a former TNA Knockout and is now an active WWE superstar. She has been a multiple-time World Tag Team Champion. She is the queen of cosplay and was queen of the ring, and often talked about Trish Stratus look-alike and AJ Lee act-alike. She is part of one of the fastest-growing factions in wrestling today and is as dangerous on the mic as she is between the ropes. Yes, that's right, I'm talking Thea Trinidad. But introducing first the early TV career of this star, yes, you know it, making her way to the ring from Mexico, Rosita. Throwing it back to 2011, TNA was a wrestling company rising through the ranks. Sort of, well, it was a second major pro wrestling company. It was hot on the heels of WWE and a company who wasn't afraid to give their female talent the kind of matches that the competition's women, the Divas, could only dream of. The roster was stacked. It boasted former WWE talent such as Christy Hemme, Mickey James, Tara, formerly known as Victoria, and Winter, WWE's Katie Lee Burchill. It also showcased its homegrown talent like ODB, Madison Rain, and the beautiful people Angelina Love and Velvet Sky. But one name on the roster with a couple of problems was Sarita, the inaugural Knockouts Tag Team Champion, winning it first time around with partner and current Impact star Taylor Wilde. Rosita was the in-ring name given to Thea when she was discovered by Tommy Dreamer. His vision for TNA was to introduce more women to its roster, more women for singles competition, but also for the tag team scene. Thea was given a tryout, a dark match against Angelina Love before a TNA TV taping. She put on a strong performance which would lead her to a TNA contract. Rosita would be introduced as the cousin of Sarita, and the pair would form an undeniable bond, a kind of magic not every team can conjure up. Aged just 21, Rosita joined Sarita to take on the problem of the beautiful people and Winter. During an 8 knockout tag team match, we'd see Sarita, Rosita, Tara and Madison Rain versus Angelina Love, Velvet Sky, Winter and Hardcore Country, Mickey James. Rosita put in a good showing for her debut match. She took down Angelina, who was facing her on-screen cousin Sarita, to begin the match. With a cheap shot, she grabbed Love's feet from the outside of the ring, bringing her to the mat. Then, in with the legal tag, the assault on Love continued. First with clotheslines, then a double team move full of Latino heat from the duo, which resulted in only a one count. Then, a tag to Sarita and a wheelbarrow senton got the two count. Rosita back in, Velvet and Winter arguing in the corner, and the Latinas double team Sky, and with Rosita headed up to the top turnbuckle, she delivers a huge moonsault and gets the three count in a debut match. Now, only four women out of the eight were made legal in this match, obviously setting up a tag team feud down the line, but I think the right call was made. The match was long enough to showcase the talent of Rosita, the newest knockout on the block, and it made her a strong contender in the knockouts division. Job done. Rosita and Sarita would earn a Knockouts Tag Team Championship match when, following her debut in January, both pairs, Sara Rosita and the beautiful people, would reignite the feud they created inside the ring. It would be the Latinas who would score the W during a non-title match and earn themselves a big opportunity the next month. March 2011 marked the brand's next pay-per-view, Victory Road. This would be the biggest match of Rosita's career thus far, and the titles, well, they were on the line. The pay-per-view segment began backstage when you could cut the tension with a knife, and I mean the smallest knife there is. Velvet and Winter were arguing, leaving Angelina not knowing which way to turn or who to support. So, to the entrances. Rosita and Sarita were out first, making their intentions very clear. Sarita got on the mic before their opponents came out. She stated her team would be leaving tonight with the Knockouts tag team titles around their waists. Could they see into the future, or was this Mexico's finest doing some salsa walking and trash talking? Angelina was one of the top stars of the Knockouts division, no doubt, and Rosita, a pint-sized newcomer, well, she could hold her own. The match was fast-paced, it had a lot of heel set moves. There was some lack of communication that played out in some moves by the hopefuls, but in points it looked like it could go either way. After a double team by the champions, Sarita snapped. She broke up the pin, began to attack Winter, then, with the ref distracted by Angelina who made the save, Sarita grabbed the title from timekeeper Socal Val and entered the ring. Love was smart, she saw what was happening and she rushed Sarita. The belt fell to the mat and again with the ref's back turned, God, these refs have a tough job, don't they? They need eyes in the back of their... Rosita grabs the belt and waits for a prey to turn around, but Velvet Sky arrives. She slides into the ring, grabs the title belt, and Winter capitalizes and goes for the pin. The ref, once more, busy making sure Velvet vacates the ring, allows Sarita to enter the ring behind the ref's back and reverse the roll-up, allowing Rosita a very long pin, getting the three count and becoming the new Knockouts Tag Team Champions. The Mexican America team would hold the TNA Knockouts Tag Team Championships for 121 days before losing to Team TNT, Brooke Tessmacher and Tara. From here, the team of Rosita and Sarita will be on a losing streak between TV tapings and house shows. The pair disbanded in June 2012, and in the following month at July's TNA Base Brawl event, Rosita would go one-on-one with Gail Kim. She would lose to Gail on the first night, but redeem herself the second night when she scored a victory over the TNA legend. I imagine that win would look quite impressive on the star's young career resume, or CV for us Brits. In 2013, Rosita would confirm her departure from TNA Wrestling and join the independent circuit until her arrival in WWE in 2017. She did, however, briefly return to TNA in 2015 for Knockouts Knockdown 3. Rosita, now introduced as Thea Trinidad, would take part in two matches. She would beat rival Angelina Love in singles competition and would also take part in a Knockouts Gauntlet Battle Royal. She had a total of 16 TV matches and three of those were pay-per-views, and she ended a TNA run a one-time Knockouts Tag Team Champion. So, TNA, as far as the women were concerned, well, actually, I'll ask you the question. Was it way ahead of its time for women's wrestling, or was WWE and their Divas division way behind of its time? In my opinion, the answer is the latter. TNA had been having steel cage matches and matches involving weapons while the Divas were still being given 2 minutes to dance in their bikinis. TNA gave a lot to the women's wrestling fans. It didn't have the platform it needed to take off the way it has done today. But while we celebrate, you know, WWE's first evers and AEW, let's not forget the women's movement, because I think it really started happening at TNA's door. Now, I want to take this time here and now to go a little bit deeper to pay respect to Thea's dad, Michael Trinidad, who sadly lost his life during the awful attacks on New York's World Trade Center on September the 11th, 2001. Thea, from Queens, New York, grew up in a very loving home. She would watch professional wrestling with her dad, Michael, and brother, Timothy, and was later inspired by legends like Rey Mysterio and Lita. Aged just 10 years old, Thea, staying home from school due to a doctor's appointment, heard the call, a call between a mother and stepdad and her dad, Michael. Her dad, who left for work that day, sadly wouldn't make it home again. This conversation no child should ever have to experience. Michael told Thea's mother there was no way he was getting out of these attacks and to tell the kids how much he loved them. He was on the 103rd floor and the plane that had crashed into the tower was underneath him. He couldn't go down because of the plane, and he couldn't go up. There was nowhere to go. The devastating reality was, he was trapped. In an emotional interview with Renee Paquette, Thea said, for years she beat herself up. She struggled with knowing she could have asked to speak to her dad one last time, but she didn't. It took her years to get past this, but she was at peace knowing the weekend before this life-altering event, she spent the weekend with her dad in New Jersey, kind of like a mini vacation, and she knew now that that was her goodbye to him. It took Thea 5 or 6 years to come to terms with the whys and the hows, but she dug deep to find out what it was they shared, the passion they shared, what made them so happy, and it was wrestling. It was WWE. She knew from being a girl it was her dream. Her mother thought it was a phase. Her dad, a wrestler himself during high school, told her from that young age to go for it, to become a WWE superstar. And it was his dream too. She would live her dream for herself, of course, but for her dad too. Now, being from the UK, I remember Tuesday, September the 11th, 2001, vividly. It's a day I will never forget. I was at school, in class. It was some sort of TV media day. The class was watching a movie and a breaking news story interrupted. New York has been hit by a suspected terrorist attack. One plane hit the World Trade Center, followed by another. I remember that feeling of panic, of confusion, being so young, actually being the same age as Thea. She was 10 years old and I was 9, soon to turn 10 in a matter of weeks. I remember the footage, the clouds of smoke. I remember the awful images that came from that day. It was almost like a horror movie had been played in front of our very eyes on live TV. Being so young, unable to comprehend what was happening, I remember the discussions when I got home with family about how serious this was. How thousands of people's lives, like Thea's, had changed forever in just a few hours. Now, skipping forward to 2013, my sister would be getting married and New York was chosen as the perfect destination for the wedding, and that it was. One place we visited was Ground Zero. My journey and my experience from being a 9-year-old boy witnessing the events unfold to being a 22-year-old man at the aftermath standing at Ground Zero had come full circle. It was truly harrowing. It was silent, it was still, and I remember taking the time to look at most of the names etched into the monuments where the towers once stood. I'd never experienced a sadness like it. The pain and anguish could be felt in the air, the stories, the photographs. It really was a feeling of great loss, something the whole world shared together. I can't imagine what Thea and her family went through that day. Losing someone without being able to steal that moment to say goodbye must be the hardest thing to process. But what I can say is, Thea turned this loss into motivation. She knew she had a passion in life, one that put a smile on both her face and her dad's, and she knew what she had to do. She fought hard. She clawed her way to where she needed to be. She'd shed blood, sweat, and tears, and really focused. It paid off. She made it to WWE. She did it for herself, but most importantly for her dad. So the moment I wanted to steal here was to say, rest in peace, Michael. Thank you for the service you gave that frightful day and the sacrifices you made to save many. So this is where we start the journey from Thea Trinidad to, well, for the second time only in this podcast, making her way to the ring from Queens, New York. She is the queen of the ring, representing the LWO, Zelina Vega. 2017 marked the emergence of a new female presence on the Black and Gold brand. We had seen many successful female managers in WWE prior to this moment, many heel female managers. We had the ravishing Russian Lana, we'd seen the likes of Melina, Lita, Stephanie McMahon, China, and sensational Sherry. But the NXT crowd would be introduced to a new woman making her mark with a man under her control. Actually, running it back for just a second, did you know NXT wasn't Thea's first taste of WWE? In 2013, around the time of departure from TNA, Thea took part in a WWE tryout. Then, in 2014, she took part in several brief appearances in the promotion, one of which being one of Adam Rose's Rosebuds. Then, she would be seen again, this time in 2016 in NXT, introduced as real name Thea Trinidad, where she challenged the NXT Women's Champion at the time, the undefeated Asuka, and she came up short. pun absolutely intended. Here's some wrestling trivia. Do you remember her entrance theme for this match? Yes? No? Well, let me tell you. She came out to the frequently used Feeling Me theme. We would often hear this theme in the Day of the Divas, where we would get a Divas Lumberjill match or a Divas Battle Royal, and the Divas would make their way to the ring collectively instead of individually. And Crystal Marshall also used this theme. So, back to 2017, and Zelina Vega has arrived. Always seen by Andrade's side, Zelina was the mouthpiece of this new duo. She would spend 2017 mixing it up with the male side of the NXT roster. It was clear looking back that it wouldn't be long before she would get some spotlight of her own, because she really was a breakout star. Before that, Zelina would lead Almas to gold, where she interfered in his match with champion Drew McIntyre at NXT TakeOver War Games. When I say Zelina interfered, I mean interfered. She got physical. She attempted a Hurricanrana on the champion McIntyre, but failed her first attempt. But later in the match delivered a successful Hurricanrana driver before Andrade captured the title and became new NXT champion. This wouldn't mark the last time Zelina would get hands-on with Andrade's opponents across the ring. During a title defense against Johnny Gargano, now Johnny Wrestling, at NXT TakeOver Philadelphia on January the 27th, 2018, Zelina, well, she attacked Johnny. Midway through the match, Zelina climbed to the apron and signed, sealed, and delivered a Hurricanrana to Johnny, sending him into the steel steps, face first. Ouch. Later in the match, both superstars were down and out on the mat. The yes chance for Johnny began, and Zelina, well, she was having none of it. She climbed the ropes, arguing with the ref, and with the ref distracted, made her way to the other side of the ring to attack Johnny once more. But his wife and fellow NXT star Candice LeRae jumped over the barricade, delivering a huge spear to Zelina from absolutely out of nowhere. The very next night was one of the four big pay-per-views of the year, the Royal Rumble. Zelina made her first main roster appearance at the event when she accompanied Andrade as he entered the men's rumble at entrant number 7. Zelina's next big moment would come on April the 18th edition of NXT, where the roles, well, they were reversed. The feud was still very much alive with the Garganos, but this time, the men, well, they would be seen interfering in the match for a change. It would be Zelina versus Candice LeRae in her first televised match. Both women came to the ring alone. Zelina started trash-talking, but LeRae, with a slight height advantage, shoved Vega to the mat. But in typical heel fashion, when the bad girl gets a beatdown, she pulls out a bag of tricks, and out comes Andrade. The distraction allowed a moment for Vega to launch Candice from the top rope to the mat, and then out comes Johnny. Vega throws LeRae in between the men on the outside before the punches can unload. Vega with a two count and into a submission, Johnny on the outside rallying up the crowd, and Candice escapes, backing Vega into the corner. Zelina goes for the double knees, the Meteora, but only a two count. Picking her opponent up, Vega tries for the hammerlock DDT, but Candice is quick with a roll-up for a two count. A huge amount of offense and a missile dropkick to Vega, but again, only a two count. She narrowly kicks out, but a flying head scissors to Vega, followed by a crossface, and actually for the first time in NXT history, a married couple lay waste to their rivals at the same time, with Candice earning the victory when Zelina tapped out to the Gargano escape. This match marked the first and last time for Vega on her NXT run. It would be the last appearance for the pair on the Black and Yellow brand. Now, the day before this match took place came the WWE Superstar Shakeup, and Zelina and Andrade would be drafted to SmackDown. Now, would she be the business manager we knew her as, or would she shine as an in-ring competitor? I know what I hoped for. July the 31st, 2018 marked the main roster debut for Zelina Vega. Now, I have to say, during this period, I declare myself a man down. I really do. I was torn. I found myself in the worst scenario a wrestling fan could find themselves in. I loved Zelina. I loved her tactics. She was mean. She was a bad bitch. But I also loved Lana that little bit more. I always supported Lana, from Ravishing Russian right up to the end. Lana haters, come at me, I dare you. Anyway, the weeks prior to this match saw the arrival of the newest, baddest talent on the SmackDown Live roster. The pair were involved in a feud with Rusev and Lana. So, back to the match, it was clear Zelina had more in-ring work. I wouldn't say she carried Lana, but there was a certain disconnection for sure. Well, I felt, anyway. I also do think it must be difficult to scale down your moveset to work with an opponent of a much smaller size. Just saying. Zelina made her way to the ring, accompanied by Andrade. Lana stood alone inside the ring. The match began with some heated looks and words with occasional shoving before Lana hit the spear on Vega she'd hit the week before ringside. Zelina escaping the ring to regroup, and we go to break. Always going to break during the women's matches, man. Back from commercial, and Zelina has Lana in a submission hold, shouting to the ref, ask her, ref. Lana drives her into the corner and takes a kick to the face. Zelina delivers the meteora to Lana, but only gets a two count. Showing obvious frustration, Zelina picks Lana up by the hair and attempts the hammerlock DDT, but taking too long, Lana counters, sending Vega over her shoulders to the mat. A few clotheslines and a neckbreaker come into play for Lana, then a spin-a-rooney, showing shades of Booker T. Then a double knees of her own to Vega, who's stunned against the ropes, but she only manages a two count. Lana up to the top rope and a distraction from Andrade, but Lana's smart. She capitalizes, knocking Vega to the mat once more, but up to the apron again goes Andrade. But out comes Rusev Day's third member, Aiden English, to take care of business. With the Ravishing One stunned hitting the ropes, Zelina rolls her up for a three count and her first main roster televised win. Nice work, Zelina. The coming weeks saw the feud grow. Lana and Zelina had a rematch, and there was a mixed tag match at SummerSlam which saw Andrade and Zelina beat Rusev and Lana. The next huge stop for Zelina, well, actually for all the female talent of past, present and future, was the Evolution pay-per-view on October 28th. The first ever all-women's pay-per-view. Zelina would take part in the women's battle royal, which would see the winner earn a future women's championship match. Zelina got to mix it up with some great names from the past who represented the Divas division in this match. She went up against the likes of Kelly Kelly, Maria, and Ivory. What an opportunity. One thing I would mention in this match that I really liked was that Tamina actually got a moment, and I think it was only right. One of the longest serving active members of the roster during this time, and still so today, I was happy she got her moment to be recognized as the behemoth that she is. Zelina seemed to disappear mid-match. Did she get eliminated? Not yet. It would seem she would take some time out until the field was a little thinner. Cheating, some may call it. Others may say playing it smart. With only two competitors left in the ring, both in a dangerous position, Ember Moon trying to shift Nia Jax's weight over the top rope, Zelina decided the time was right. She would slide right in under the bottom rope and got back to work, pushing both women over the top rope. She celebrated a little prematurely. What she hadn't realized was both women were still in the game as neither hit the floor. Both women landed on the apron. Nia, back in the ring, towered above Vega and grabbed her hair as she tried to run. Zelina, fighting back, climbed on the back of the monster Jax. Lifting her high above her head, Nia threw the pint-sized pin over the top rope to an already eliminated Tamina ringside. Tamina may have broken the fall for Vega, but they hit hard. I remember thinking Tamina must have had a broken nose at the very least. It looked nasty. In January of 2019, Zelina Vega would take part in a first, but the second, all-women's Royal Rumble match. She came to the ring cosplaying Vega from Street Fighter 2, and she looked great. She entered the match at number 20, lasting 11 minutes, 42 seconds, before being eliminated by Rhea Ripley. She did have a great segment where she hid under the ring and Hornswoggle returned. He appeared under the apron next to Zelina, chasing her around the perimeter before she climbed back inside the ring to escape the cheeky little leprechaun and earned her elimination by the Nightmare. In April 2019, Zelina, still part of SmackDown Live, would have one fun match you must all remember. Zelina would be part of the SmackDown brand's massive 18-person mixed tag team match. I know, right? Has that ever been done before? It was... Right, are you ready for this? Let me get it right. Andrade, Zelina, Lana, Gallows, Anderson, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, and Shelton Benjamin versus R-Truth, Carmella, Nikki Cross, Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, Asuka, Otis, Tucker, and Naomi. Zelina and Nikki would start the match, Psycho and Nikki Cross. Vega wasn't handling her opponent too well, thankfully. I guess for her came the distraction. SmackDown's newest, hottest star, Lacey Evans. She made her presence felt when she paraded down the ramp and back again. Weird segments, I know. She was like the cat who got the cream. The match continued, but it wasn't long before all hell broke loose. We had men and women throwing each other over the top rope, and the bell rang. And the winner was a draw. This was a WrestleMania preview, and who would stand tall? Asuka, even eliminating Jeff Hardy. Just 5 days after this match came WrestleMania 35, Zelina's first WrestleMania. With all this Battle Royal experience under her belt, she should go on to win big things in this match, right? The prize was the chance to be crowned the second ever WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal winner. Zelina would be the 10th woman to be eliminated in this match, being eliminated by Fire and Desire's Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. But one more big match I wanted to bring up for Zelina was a brief return to NXT for one night only. The day after WrestleMania 35, the Worlds Collide pay-per-view and Access. The show would feature a host of women's matches, and one of them was Piper Niven, the Scottish Brute, versus Zelina Vega. It was like David versus Goliath. The crowd chanted, "Piper's gonna kill you." And with that, Piper took the win. But don't worry, Zelina would get her revenge one day. Now, during the NXT Superstar Shakeup on April the 15th and 16th, Zelina and Andrade would be drafted to Raw. But then, the strangest thing, on April the 22nd, Zelina would be drafted back to SmackDown. But later, in October 2019, as part of the next shakeup, Zelina and Andrade were drafted back to Raw. I know, I can't keep up either. Skip into January 2020, Zelina entered a second Women's Royal Rumble match. Entering at number 25, she lasted 9 minutes and 31 seconds before being eliminated by Shayna Baszler. For the second year in a row, she scored 0 eliminations at the event, but she looked good doing it. In the coming weeks on Raw, Zelina entered a mini feud with Bianca Belair and also some tag feuds, teaming with Andrade to face champions Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. Vega must have impressed because in September of 2020, her singles push looked to be finally happening. The September 14th edition of Raw came around and we saw Angel Garza talking to Lana backstage. Lana was complaining Mickie James demanded and received a title shot against champion Asuka when Natalya, the boat, was obviously the most deserving person. Now, let's remember, Asuka became the champion when Becky Lynch handed over the title to the Money in the Bank briefcase holder because Becky was pregnant and could no longer compete. While one woman began a journey to motherhood, the other had ideas of another dominant reign, and this made the women's roster very hungry. Zelina and Andrade interrupted Lana and Angel and waved bye to Lana. She said Angel had lost focus. The men began to gather some heat when they exchanged verbal cheap shots, and Zelina interrupted. She said, "Enough! I can't do this anymore." Later in the night, Mickey received the title match Lana was complaining about. Two legends stepped to each other for the prize being the Raw Women's Championship. The pair had an interesting matchup with a very, very controversial ending. Mickey in the Asuka lock tried to escape the submission by rolling to her front, but the ref for some reason rang the bell and called a submission. Asuka looked confused, Mickey looked confused, I was confused. The virtual crowd were confused. Then the announcer said the ref ruled Mickey was unable to continue, but nevertheless, the bell rang and the match was done. As Asuka celebrated a victory, out came Zelina Vega. She grabbed the mic and she looked ready to go. I was so hyped for this moment. Vega said she'd been thinking about the future. No. Thinking about her future. She said she'd given the best years of her career managing those ingrates. Ingrates just like Asuka. She said Asuka was just handed that title by one of the greatest in the world and she had been reckless with it, defending it against everybody and their mother. The Empress of Tomorrow has been so focused on defending it against the superstars of yesterday that she'd forgotten about one of the best in the business today. Me. Zelina declared she was ready for Asuka. She was ready for that Raw Women's Championship, and she slapped the taste out of Asuka's mouth, then quickly exited the ring. The following week, Zelina took on Mickie James for a right to be named number one contender. I like this revisit from the Rosita versus Mickie days in TNA. The match was relatively short, but it was fresh to see a new competitor in Zelina head to the ring. The bell rang and Mickie went right after Zelina, but was quickly put in her place. Zelina controlled the early going, but Mickie, with a handful of hair, swung Zelina around like a windmill. She saw all four corners of the ring at the same time. Zelina, with her version of AJ Lee's finisher, the Black Widow, almost had Mickie tapping out. She told Mickie, "It was your time, but now it's mine." Into a powerbomb position, Zelina counters with a roll-up. Looking for a tornado DDT, Mickie counters and picks up some momentum. Declaring she's going to be a seven-time champion in WWE, she goes for the seated senton and Zelina kicks out. Then a huge backstabber and Vega is your new number one contender. At Clash of Champions, Zelina put on a great showing against the champion, but it wasn't meant to be. In the October 2020 draft, Zelina would be sent back to SmackDown. She would face former rival Bianca Belair on a return match, then would get an opportunity to qualify for the SmackDown team at Survivor Series in November. She would be unsuccessful in that qualifying match, and then came the news nobody expected. On November 13th, 2020, WWE reported Zelina Vega had been released from a WWE contract. What? Wishing her the best in her future endeavours. What? It was later reported the reason was because Zelina had other platforms she was using outside of WWE, i.e. Twitch. Obviously, WWE had no control over this, and in an attempt to clamp down on other companies having deals with their talent, they sent out an apparent notice to all of the stars that usage of those platforms was forbidden and went against the terms of their contract. Well, Zelina refused to stop using Twitch, connecting with her fans. Good for her. But what wasn't so good, she was fired. But the ironic thing was, just this year, I think it was, Twitch and WWE launched a multi-year partnership. Now, at this time, when the dust settled, I remember wondering just what was next for Zelina. Wrestling was in her blood. Maybe a return to Impact Wrestling? Would she go back and win the Knockouts World Championship? Get the singles title she deserved? Maybe go back and become a two-time Knockouts champion, if she could find a partner? Maybe reignite some old feuds or begin some new ones? But no, none of that. In fact, less than 8 months later, WWE did a U-turn, meaning Zelina Vega was back. It was SmackDown in early July 2021. We had Sonya Deville in her authoritative position, and there were some big names running the women's division on the Blue brand. Names like SmackDown Women's Champion Bianca Belair and Bayley. We had names like Carmella and Liv Morgan, women fighting for a chance to qualify for the upcoming Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, and one woman who was a driving force, a dynamic woman who wanted to make a presence felt, ladies and gents, Zelina Vega. She was back in the building. One woman to take issue with this was Liv Morgan. The previous week, Carmella was declared the first participant. She didn't earn her way into the match. Sonya put Carmella on the qualified pedestal due to her previous accolades. You remember her cheating ways with that chinless freak? You know the one. Then this week, Zelina had returned to WWE and immediately landed herself a spot in the Money in the Bank ladder match. And Liv, well, she was unhappy. Zelina made a great entrance to the ring and mic in hand returned to the heel persona she had crafted and perfected those almost 8 months ago. Vega, with her new attire and black and red hair, told Sonya clearly it was Deville's honour to announce her return, just like it'll be my pleasure to grab that contract. And at the right moment, whoever the champion is, at that moment, when they're down and half beaten and can barely stand, that's the moment where I cash in my Money in the Bank contract to achieve my goal of becoming either Raw, SmackDown, or NXT. Ready? Women's Champion. And out comes Liv. No. What's going on here? Now, this promo gave me hot AJ Lee vibes. The way Vega spoke, her pronunciations, and even during the match that came next, Vega had Liv in the Black Widow submission move. I mean, she had practice, right? Right? Zelina lost this return match, but still went on to Money in the Bank. She didn't manage to capture the briefcase, but all was not lost. Gold was coming her way. But first, Zelina wasn't done chasing the SmackDown Women's Championship. inserting herself right in the middle of champion Bianca Belair and new challenger Sasha Banks after she turned on the champion the previous week after faking a friendship. One should always know you can never trust the boss, and you can bank on that. August the 6th, 2021, Sasha came out to explain her actions last week. She did some trash talking. She said there would be nothing without her, and cue the champ's entrance. Bianca climbed inside the ropes, and Sasha, well, she left the ring quickly. Standing tall on the announce desk, the two traded blows verbally until Zelina came out. Shooting for the champ first, Vega said, "Look at me when I'm talking to you. Are you lost?" She said, "Let me remind you," before Sasha swoops in like the ratchet little vulture she is. "You accepted my challenge for the SmackDown Women's Championship." The crowd were eaten at this point. Bianca agreed. She looked to Sasha and said, "I'll see you at SummerSlam." And back to Zelina, she wasn't going empty-handed. No, no, no. She would see Vega tonight. Zelina again failed to capture the title. Vega would accept the loss and would have a new title in mind, a different kind of title. Zelina wanted to become the new queen of WWE, move over Charlotte Flair. WWE held the first Queen of the Ring tournament, which featured 8 women. She beat Toni Storm in the first round and Carmella in the semi-finals before going on to the Crown Jewel pay-per-view, where she got redemption on Piper Niven from NXT Worlds Collide, now named Doudrop, to win the coveted title of Queen of the Ring. This was Vega's first major accolade in WWE, one for the history books. It was actually a piece of history in itself, being featured on the match card of Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia, as only a handful of women have performed on this stage. The next night on Raw, Zelina received a coronation fitting for, well, a queen. She was gifted a cape, her royal crown, and scepter, and overnight she became graceful. Regal, in fact, and English. Yes, you heard me right. She adopted a British accent. It wasn't bad. Not half bad at all. Good job, Zelina. Good job, Queen. She faced Doudrop in a rematch, but beat her using the scepter as a weapon when the referee wasn't looking. It was October, and Zelina would now officially be drafted back to Raw, where the chase for gold began again, this time in the form of tag team gold. Carmella and Zelina, having tagged before, made quite the egotistical team. Some say almost like Laycool 2.0. I don't. Some do, but I don't. I don't like to compare. This heel duo were so good at being bad. On November the 22nd, 2021, Carmella, the most beautiful woman in all of WWE, and Queen Zelina became our new women's tag team champions when they beat Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. This was Zelina's first championship within the company. The pair had some successful defenses and ended their reign at 131 days before losing the title at WrestleMania 38 on night 2 to Naomi and Sasha Banks during a fatal 4-way tag team match. During their reign, they entered the Royal Rumble as the tag champs and even turned on each other when Carmella's real-life wedding to Corey Graves became a storyline. Vega accused Carmella of losing focus and not caring about their team anymore because of this wedding, saying Mella had become an ugly bridezilla, and slap, they were just as entertaining as rivals as they were as partners. Now, speaking of slaps, the pair received a massive slap each when GM Sonya Deville recruited the women to interfere in her title match against Belair. Sonya wanted them to help her beat her rival and win the Raw Women's Championship. She instructed a distraction, but it didn't go as planned. Losing the match, Sonya headed backstage to find Carmella and Zelina arguing. She told them to stop. They had one job, to get Sonya her championship. So now, they didn't get their championship opportunity. Zelina was first to speak. She complained and moaned, saying, "You're going back on your word. You promised us an opportunity." Then Sonya, without a word, slapped her face hard. Carmella attempted to return the slap when Sonya grabbed her arm and said, "I wouldn't do that if I were you. I'm a WWE official and I'm still your boss." Well, this was all her fault anyway, Carmella claimed, and again Sonya with the slap, knocking Mella to the floor. This was a memorable moment and a huge turning point in the tag team moving to rival team for Mella and Zelina. It was then reported Zelina had to undergo surgery and would be out of the ring for an undisclosed amount of time, but 7 months later she returned on SmackDown with a brand new look and a handful of men around her. October 2022 saw Legado del Fantasma called up from NXT, but left behind was Electra Lopez, their female counterpart. On SmackDown, the men debuted with a new blonde, Zelina Vega. They attacked Hit Row and began a mini feud. This faction went from strength to strength. She would trade blows during mini rivals with Valhalla of the Viking Raiders and B-Fab of Hit Row. This year, they took in Rey Mysterio and now call themselves the LWO, Latino World Order. Remember, Zelina said she watched Rey when she was a child. He inspired her. What an honor. Not many people get to live their wildest dreams. This faction has done some great things, but the best thing to come for me and many of you was the opportunity Zelina got in April this year in Puerto Rico to represent her people and a chance to beat one of the most dominant women's champions in history, Rhea Ripley, for the now retired SmackDown Women's Championship at Backlash. Zelina, the woman who's had more than five colors in her hair, is a dominant in-ring performer. She always switches up her looks, keeping it fresh, and the lead up to this match was insane. It's also worth noting that this is the first time in her career Zelina is a babyface, and I love it. Zelina asked for this match, and she got it. She came to the ring armed with the Puerto Rican flag, her blonde hair with the matching colour blue. She looked incredible, and when I say she received a standing ovation, those fans were breaking through the ceiling. As soon as Samantha called her name, the tears began to fall. This showed what this moment meant to Zelina. She fought tirelessly all those years for this moment, and what I really loved was the introduction. It wasn't rushed. There was a long period in between announcing challenger and champion. Zelina soaked up the crowd and their reactions. The match began with Rhea asking Vega, "Do you really think these people are your people?" "They are my people," she returned. The crowd broke into a chant. As predicted, Rhea would begin to overpower Zelina because being the smaller of the two, she couldn't match her size or power. She had to rely on speed and agility. With a roll to the outside, Zelina collected a chancla from her mother who was sitting front row for the match. I think I said that right. Those with Latino heritage knew the significance of this moment. Zelina took a crippling powerbomb from Rhea and would lose some momentum. Then, back to her feet, set Rhea up for a big shoulder spot with the ring post. Back to her feet, she hits Rhea with a huge amount of offense. But with time to recover, Mami was back on top. Attempting the riptide, Zelina countered into a DDT and then delivered the 619. We all popped hard. Then up to the top rope and a little homage to Eddie Guerrero, Vega dishes the double knees on Rhea and shockingly only gets a two count. I really thought with that combination we were getting a new champion right there. Rhea with a big kick then delivers the riptide. This time she got the full effect. Vega, she couldn't stop the three count. The match is done and still SmackDown Women's Champion Rhea Ripley. If this match showed me anything, it's that Zelina can go. She shows up and shows out. The crowd were behind her. It was obvious what this moment meant to the people, and Zelina too. And with that performance, I just know her time is coming. The chance she got after the match where she stood alone, feeling pure emotion, was something special. This will forever be Zelina's greatest moment in WWE. From here, Zelina has remained with the LWO and represented the brand as both manager and competitor inside the ring, whether it be in singles or mixed tag action. She recently took on Io Sky for the WWE Women's Championship after beating her in a non-title match, but was unsuccessful thanks to the rest of Damage Control. It just seems WWE, for some reason, aren't ready to let her run loose with a singles title. I mean, the only question I have to ask now is, what's next for Zelina, and should she receive a push to a major title, either the WWE Women's Championship or the Women's World Championship? My answer is yes, as was yours. 76% of you voted in agreement. You said, yes, she deserves a major singles title run. I did put the polls out there on X for this episode. I asked for your favourite rivalry of Zelina Vega. The options were Carmella, Johnny and Candice LeRae, Bianca Belair, or Kayla Braxton, and you voted Bianca. I think this was voted on pure athletic reasons, how they matched up, and that's good. But a different angle, and my choice would have been Kayla. These two have chemistry. The back and forths, the standoffs. I was sure this would lead to something physical at some point. But now Vega is a face figure, maybe that chance is gone. But she won't remain the good guy forever. They never do. Let's get Kayla in the ring. Do you see her costume last month on the bump? Halloween Braxton as Zelina? Amazing. I think she's too scared to step to Vega for real. Do you? I also asked for some of your favourite moments or matches of Vega, and at King Empire 345 said Zelina versus Asuka, Clash of Champions, and Zelina versus Rhea, Backlash, as we've just covered. So thank you for those. She has many more to come and we're here for it. I often end this show with, should this superstar be inducted into the Hall of Fame? For obvious reasons, it doesn't always cut it as simple as that. Thea Trinidad is a longtime ring performer. Zelina Vega has achieved a lot and will continue to do so, but it's still quite early in this young superstar's WWE career. She hasn't been given the spotlight consistently, more so sporadically. She's been through NXT, through Raw and SmackDown, a one-time women's tag team champion, a queen of the ring, acted impeccably as AJ Lee in the film Fighting With My Family, which showcased the real life and career of WWE's Paige. She's been ranked on the PWI list, has entered many women's Royal Rumble matches, has worked WrestleMania and the first ever all-women's pay-per-view. One day, I would like to see Zelina inducted for her work and have at least one major singles title run under her belt. However, I'm not opposed to wanting more for Zelina. She's too talented to only be used on TV a handful of times a year. Is that a crime? So if the time came, would I like to see an Impact return? Yeah. An AEW debut? Yes. I want more Zelina. So yes, I'd like to see an induction for Zelina, but I want to see more of what she can do first. I think if Zelina or Thea went back to TNA, I'd love to see a rerun of Thea versus Mickey, maybe Thea versus Trinity. Imagine an Indies run tagging with or competing against Melina. I could see that. Or imagine an AEW debut. She looks great against the bigger talent. How about Thea versus Willow? Or maybe a feud with Julia Hart, the woman featured in her husband's faction, the House of Black. Could Thea make a great Impact Knockouts World Champion or AEW Women's World Champion? Yeah, she could. She has the talent, she has the fan base. I could see it, and she deserves it. Zelina is an underrated talent. She's achieved a great deal already in her career, and she's going to go on to bigger things. The colour gold looks great on her, and until this point, Zelina has competed to win or retain in 12 title matches in WWE. That's 2 tries for the Raw Women's Championship, 3 tries for the SmackDown Women's Championship, 6 matches for the Women's Tag Team Championships, 1 to win the title, 4 defended successfully and 1 losing the titles, and 1 unsuccessful attempt for the newly designed WWE Women's Championship. However, we do still have one way to keep gold around her waist, and that's in the WWE Games franchise. Zelina has appeared in 3 games, WWE 2K19 as a non-playable manager and a playable superstar in WWE 2K20 and 2K23. Well, folks, that wraps up episode 18 of They Made Their Way to the Ring. As always, please hit that follow button, the like button, hit all the buttons to ensure you don't miss another episode. If you enjoy my announcing and my content, please tag the major promotions, tag Zelina, and if you don't enjoy it, you probably haven't got this far, but if by some miracle you have and you didn't enjoy it, well, please just tag them anyway. We've smashed through 370 streams on our way to our target of 400 streams, and that is down to you taking the time to listen. Please rate this episode 5 stars if you like it. I do feature some feedback on X for everyone to see. The next episode, episode 19, we will be celebrating the career of one of the longest reigning NXT Women's Champions, Mandy Rose. I'm keeping my goals alive, you know my goals, to make more content, one day meet the stars, even announce at an event. Keep yours alive too. Keep reposting, keep enjoying, keep coming back for They Made Their Way to the Ring. Ding, ding, ding.